It's very nice to be here again after a long time, and we've had lots of good times in Devon and with the church here. It's great to be with you. Nice to see you again, and thank you for the invite. As Pastor Gil is in Ethiopia, so I figured it's only fair that I should be here, and we'll switch places, and if we like it, we may just stay. No. It's very good. And we want to just share from a little bit of what's happened in Ethiopia, but mainly from just sharing God's word this morning. And then again, in 2 weeks' time, Lord willing, we'll be back and continue. And I want to share around the theme of basically aligning our life with God's purpose and will in every aspect of our life. And that brings us into such a place of blessing and fruitfulness and joy and rather than just kind of doing our own thing and hoping that God will bless it somehow, but aligning our life, our heart, our talk, our family, every aspect of our life, our mind and our thinking, and in line with God. And that's such a place of blessing, such a place of fruitfulness. And we've had the joy and blessing of working in mission for a long time. As you know from other times, we've been in Zambia for 9 years, then almost 29 in Ethiopia, I think it is. Get myself confused now as how many years it's been, but something around that time. And we have seen just such amazing good things, and God has done such amazing things. In Ethiopia, I know there's troubles, and that's part of what Samaritan's Purse is reacting to, and Pastor Gil is involved with that. But that's blown way out of proportion in the Western media, as always. They get about 1% of things accurate and the rest inaccurate. But the country's actually doing very well, and the government is doing really well, and they are leading well and developing and new things, very, very positive time. And the gospel has penetrated the nation in virtually all aspects of the nation now. And they're doing a very good job of the country itself. And working through this crisis that happened, and that was a crisis, and it needed some good attention from the government leadership, and they did, and they've done well. But what I want to share about is the influence of the gospel and how it's growing rapidly across the nation. And one of the things, I guess, that we've learned most simply and significantly is the power of the Word of God. Like, I can't get into a lot of detail because a lot of the work that's happening in Ethiopia right now, a lot of the amazing growth that, like, you would have a hard time believing the numbers that are coming to Christ, but they're in sensitive situations, and we don't want to get anybody into trouble. And I know we're online here. It's great to have people here in the building. That's always a lot easier to talk to and share with when there's living souls. And great to have people on the camera, too, that can't be here, but it's nice to have both. But because it's on camera and spreading around the world, or at least potentially spreading around the world, a few weeks ago I was sharing, and our daughter and her husband live in Scotland. They pastor a church in Scotland, and their three kids, and they were watching it from Scotland because it was like this. So I talked about their kids and their little kids, and I said something. It's so great to have Emma and Luke and Levi, and greeted them. Then after the service, he said to his mother, to our daughter, he mentioned our name. Now the whole world will know us. I said, well, maybe not the whole world, but some. Anyway, it's great to have that chance. But because of that, I have to be careful as well. But the work of God is growing so rapidly. And just in general, like starting right about now in the country of Ethiopia, we have a group going out, 6,000 relatively new, zealous believers, not new in the sense of brand new, they're trained and ready to go out preaching and planting churches into a whole massive area of the country, 6,000 of them it's today or yesterday, and they'll be out for 40 days out through the country. And in the results, I'll hear more detail in a few weeks because we stay in touch, and just I know there will be many thousands of house churches planted just in these next few weeks across different parts of the country that are very sensitive. And the the power behind it, the Holy Spirit working through the believers in the church, but it's the Word of God. And so many places they would respond when the Bible came in their own language, their own tongue, and they can read it and hear it, and they've been involved in other things and other religions, and when they see that, hear it, and the Holy Spirit drives it to the heart, it changes everything. And then there's a hunger and a desire. And so there are just, I won't mention even the numbers, but literally millions right now, new believers across the country loving the Word of God. And God has allowed us to be part of bringing in hundreds of thousands of Bibles in different language situations so that they can get it in their hand. And we work with their leaders and we interact throughout the country. And the Word of God. And one of the things, we were just recently with a group of leaders before we came to Canada in March, and sitting with 12 leaders in one area of the country where the gospel is really starting to penetrate. A hard, harsh, opposed to the gospel forever, but now it's opening up. And they shared things with us, but one of the things that they said was, going back to Moses, they said, God was with Moses. And then in Acts chapter 10, 38, we read, God was with Jesus. And all these things were happening. And he said, and God is with us. And that's why these things are happening. And miracles and people getting set free. And in that day that we spent with those 12, each of them are seeing stuff. Like in one case, a very high up, high level witch doctor person in the country, known throughout, was hostile. But through a set of circumstances, God touched his heart. He got saved, set free, cast out demons. Like, if you heard his story, you would be amazed what he had been involved in. Came to Christ, filled with the Spirit, loves the Word of God, studying it, they're discipling him. And now the people, like the witch doctor idea, is people come for help. They come for, it isn't help, but that's what they think it is. And that, so people come from all over to get whatever it is that he's doing. Now they still come, but instead he shares with them about Jesus. And then he says, bring your witchcraft stuff and we'll burn it and we'll give you a Bible to replace it. And they go home, and this is for leaders of communities, and they go back to their community saved, the Word of God set free from the demonic and sharing Christ. So that kind of stuff is happening, and it's happening on a beautiful wide scale. And one of the other guys sitting there had in these last 6 months, he had led 6,000 to Christ and is discipling them. And these aren't just guys sitting there like babies. They are people of influence, and he's working with them, and they start influencing others. And so it's spreading in that kind of amazing speed. And I could share many more things. I got an email just this week from another whole area of the country from a guy that we support, a bunch of church planters in that area, and a very good friend. And he said in one place over these last months, there was some turmoil in the area, and some of the other Muslim guys in the area took the opportunity to burn a bunch of churches. And so 10 churches were burnt. Yeah, just got this week from him. And he said, but after the churches were burnt, we went in with the guys and we were sharing the gospel, and a whole group of people got saved in that area. And they just finished a baptism of like about 1,000 people in that area. So it's like stuff is happening. And I guess, you know, when we look in the Canadian context, we want to see God at work through us, in us, and touch our nation. Like, my heart's passion is for Canada. We've been back, like you said, helping with the Bible school for some months each year, and then back to Ethiopia. So we're doing both, and it's great. We love the interaction with the young people in the college, and that's been a beautiful thing. It's something we've prayed for a long time, for Canadian young people in mission and ministry and so on. But we just see the hardness of this country and the challenge. And it makes me think, when we went to Ethiopia 29 years ago, and there were two strong religions that were both very anti-born-again Christianity, and it just, like, there was stuff happening, and we saw lots of stuff in the early days, but it was in small areas, and there was this hardness and a darkness that comes when the Word of God is no longer being honored. But we've watched the nation turning towards God for these years. And I won't get into it, but right across the board in all different contexts, people turning to God and the things I'm sharing happening widely, and it's changing the atmosphere of the whole country. And what has stood out to me is, as we come back to Canada, is we live in a country, Canada, that's turning and has been for some time turning away from God. And you see the results of that over years. And we've watched the results of a nation turning towards God change. And there's so much that Canada could learn from Ethiopia today. And Prime Minister Trudeau, I don't suppose you're watching, but if you were, you could learn a lot from the Prime Minister of Ethiopia and the government of Ethiopia today, because God is doing a lot of really positive, good things. My prayer is for Canada. And I can tell you this, there are many thousands of Ethiopians praying for Canada. And I've asked them to and shared with them. Canada has shared with Ethiopia in many ways over these years. Ethiopia, pray for Canada. And we believe that that prayer and your prayers and the prayers of the saints will make a difference. And so what I want to share on from the Word of God is, and I just want to be careful on the time, but on that theme, what I've seen and what I know is that if we will align ourselves, us as believers, the world we don't expect to align with God, but we, and then God can start working through us in ways that we haven't expected or didn't think could happen even. And doors start opening and the gospel starts having impact through you, through me, here in Canada, and change this pattern. I think it's time. And so I want to build it around the theme of aligning us, aligning with God, and then God can use us to do what he wants to do. And it's based around the Lord's Prayer, the beautiful prayer that Jesus taught, and I'll come back to that throughout. But it's the prayer of a mature believer. And one of the things that we've observed in Ethiopia over and over is when people come to faith in Christ, and from all backgrounds, like this guy, the witch doctor guy, and thousands of them like that, but when he entered into the whole witchcraft thing, he shared that they did human sacrifice to gain power with the devil, like literally deep, deep, deep occultish stuff. And from that, they got power, but it was demonic power. It was damaging, destructive power, not something that would help. But people thought it would help, and so on. So those guys get saved, and they are so repentant and crying for the harm they've done to people. And now my heart, they'll share so often, is I need to bring the truth to people. I need to share this with people. And so they're studying the Word of God and praying and serious and give their life, and sometimes literally give their life, because in that environment, some of the resistant aspects of it will still come and persecute and even kill and burn and so on. So there's a passion there. A deep passion in all the new believers coming to Christ to go and share and live for Christ. They've lived for the devil. They've lived for everything else. And that passion is what changes them, and then they begin to have influence everywhere that they go. And that's my prayer for Canada. If we, I don't want to say it too bluntly, although I usually do. If we just sit kind of cold and lukewarm in our faith and expect somehow God is somehow going to do something, you might be disappointed. He may do something, but it won't be through you. But he will do much through you and through me if we will align with him. And that's where I think this prayer that Jesus taught is so powerful. Another thing I would like to just open with, or in this introductory point, is the Word of God. We need to have such a deep reverence for it, understand its power, understand it. Like, again, I could give you so many, but I have to be wise here. But you go into one of these religious contexts in Ethiopia where darkness has reigned for 1,000 years, with the Word of God, the Bible itself in their language, and somebody who loves them and understands their language and context brings the Bible and shares with them, and they read it, it breaks open stuff. It has such authority and power. And I have to say this, in Canada, I look and there's been a dumbing down of the Bible. People don't read it. You read every book about the Bible, everybody's little theory about how you could get your church growing again. Read what it says there and you'll get your church growing again. Do what God says we're supposed to do. But a lot of people aren't reading it. I hear this from pastors and leaders. The number, the amount of time that the average Christian reads the Bible in the week is negligible. That's the one. Negligent too. But that cannot build our lives. I don't care how many good books you read or bad books we read about the Bible and about church and about everything. If we're not reading the Bible, God's Word taught to us by the Holy Spirit, and have a reverence for it and a hunger for it and a desire for it, then we will not be growing. And if we're growing, then our faith is growing. Our likeness to Christ, we're being transformed into His image, is happening. And the Spirit of God can work through us, and out of our inner being flows a river of living water, and it brings change. It brings life wherever you go. Not just a tract, or you might do that, but not just a program, but you, in the place God has placed you, bring living water there. And not even just talking about Jesus, although we do and will, but in what you do and how you do it, and the impact you have, because God's grace flowing through you touches the environment around you. And that's what we need to be getting hold of. And that's what I believe God's prayer, or this prayer that Jesus taught us when they asked him how to pray. He said, pray like this. And he gave some things, and we'll talk about them. But they're very dynamic, each one. And again, when we come to the Word of God, I find oftentimes in a country like Canada, where we've had the Christianity for a long, long time, and we've heard the Bible so many times, and preachers, good and bad, preaching, and you get this kind of cliche-type perspective of the Bible. So, you know, our Father, yes, hallelujah, He's my Father, who art in heaven, amen. Hallowed be your name. But we don't really understand what is he really saying. Like, that is Jesus teaching a prayer. And every single part of it is full of life and power and dynamic, just like the whole Word of God is, if the Holy Spirit is bringing it to us in a way that it's food. Like, I love what Jesus said when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness and he was hungry, he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and he said, turn the bread into the stones into bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what I've come to understand as I walk with God over years, every word in the Word of God is filled with life. It's food. If we let the Holy Spirit bring it to us in a way that we get a taste of what's really there, not just our head and not just our memory, but the Holy Spirit really in bringing it alive, you'll find every word is packed with spiritual life and depth and truth that will change my life. So aligning with God's purpose is what I'm focusing on, coming into obedience and submission to Christ. And if you read the whole chapter, you read the whole Bible, but the whole chapter, John 14 and 15, that's what the whole thing is about, coming into obedience to Christ, into alignment with His purpose, in submission, His Word abiding in us and us abiding in Him, and many beautiful things there that bring us into a place of fruitfulness in our life. Like, I'm growing and I want to keep growing, but we have watched God's blessing on our life. And I'm not boasting about anything except how God's blessing, and like Jesus said, if you stay connected to the vine, then you can do this. Without that connection, you can do nothing. And the Lord was speaking to me a few mornings ago, and I just had this sense of God saying, your gift, talking to me, with my anointing, can change a nation. And I'm like, hallelujah, that's beautiful. And the next word was, your gift without my anointing can do nothing. So the challenge becomes, how do I ensure that I'm walking in alignment with him and his anointing can flow? That's the real issue of life, of spiritual life. And the Word of God, every word in the Word of God teaches us, moves us down that line and keeps us going in that direction. So aligned with God, and I'll get there eventually in the, or part of it this week at least, is the place of blessing. And I could have Val come and share, and she didn't want to this morning, but she doesn't want to any morning, I should say. But she's a dynamic part of everything that we do. But God's blessing on our life. Like, we pastored in Alberta here first, in Marathorpe, just down the road, and then went to Zambia, and we loved Marathorpe. We had a great time there. Zambia, we saw beautiful fruit. Ethiopia now, amazing fruit. And God has blessed our marriage. He's blessed our family. He's blessed our children. And they're all walking with God. Our one daughter in Scotland, married to a young Scottish lad, and they're pastoring the church in Dundee, Scotland. And our daughter married to Jeremy Feller. A little bit of a problem. No. Just in case they're watching. But beautiful family and serving God in Ethiopia. And then our son is in Edmonton with his family. And like, we've been so blessed in every aspect of life. And there's been battles. I could share them and you know, troubles and anxieties and things you face. But it's the life of fruitfulness. And then what you see out flowing from your life in terms of ministry out and touching things. And that's what this prayer is talking about. Align with God. And that becomes a place of you are blessed and fruitful, but your life is fruitful and spreads out and touches other people in more and more powerful ways as you grow. So just a couple verses in John 14:23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. I want you to think about this for a minute, not just kind of run by it like, as I say it, but think about this. If anyone loves me, Jesus said, now he's talking to his people, us. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. We will learn it and keep it in every aspect of it. And my Father will love him. And this is the part that has always astounded me my whole life and walk with God, from when I got saved in Edmonton at 21 years old and out of a background of stupidity and rubbish, came to faith. And from that moment on, this concept has overwhelmed me. It still does today when I talk to the Lord in the morning or the night, or when I wake in the night. Or he said, and we, the Father and the Son, Jesus, will come to him and make our home with him. And her is included there. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. I love that. That is the joy and strength of our life. The Father and the Son make their home with me. If I love him, and if I keep his word. But I have to know his word to keep it, not just a general, okay, I go to church thing. But understand it, let it permeate our lives, teach us and walk in it. And then 15 verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I don't know how you're finding it, but I hear a lot of kind of whining and complaining in the church, not Devon Church, I'm talking other churches, not this one, and none other ones that I've visited. Only those other ones out there that we can talk about. But complaining and whining and depression is so big in the church because of COVID, and everything is like, how do we abide by COVID, and what's COVID? Am I going to get a new variant, and am I going to get sick, and do I get the vaccination? Does it cause me to take the mark of the beast, or do I get grow new ears because... Like, every kind of stuff going on, except What is God saying to us in our life to walk with him? I understand all the stress about all that rubbish. We've been through plenty of it. But I'm not worried about that. Deal with it. Be wise about it as best we can. But walk with God and know God. And he said, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. And just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy, Jesus talking, may be in you, and that your joy will be full. I love that. And I love that the Father and the Son will make their home with me, and every day I can have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And then I was asking about the Holy Spirit. How does he fit this picture? And he is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God. He brings all of it to us and makes it real to us and teaches us what Jesus said and reveals the Father. And so it's God in my home, making my home his home. And that's real. It's not just some sort of a little prayer thing. It's a reality that shapes every day's walk with God. We were talking with some people from the district recently here in Alberta, and they're saying, you know, how do you deal with some of the dangers that happen? And I could spend all morning talking about some of the dangers that you face. And I had to stop and think, I don't know, how did we deal with the dangers? I don't remember. It's like, yeah, they happen, and God is with you, and you walk through them. And when you look back, you think, boy, that really was dangerous. But in the heat of it, it's just walking with God, and it's just doing what you do every day. How do you deal with danger? Same way. It's like God is with, and he's with me in the heat of every battle and the fruit of every circumstance. And you see the whole thing together, your joy is full. Doesn't mean you haven't faced tragedies and difficulties, but it means your joy is full in the whole complete picture of what God's doing. And I absolutely love it. The Word of God is, as you know, but I want to refresh your memory about it, because this is what we have learned in Ethiopia, a respect and love for the Word of God. It's supernatural and it's powerful. It's not just a narrative that we can study like a history book. It's a living Word empowered by the Holy Spirit, or brought to life by the Holy Spirit every time we read it, or at least potentially. And Timothy, you know the verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, these are all things you know very well, but I just want to highlight them. Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It will reprove, it will correct, it will teach and instruct. It builds our life, the Word of God, talking to us, myself, reading it, hearing it, the Holy Spirit teaching it to me. It will do these things. It will reprove or rebuke me on a daily basis. I love it. I've come to love it more as I get older. When I'm thinking the wrong direction, when some motive of pride or jealousy or some weird thing starts creeping in and I think it feels good and I'm ready to go with it, and the Holy Spirit can just convict, that is not good. He can rebuke and correct. But it's not, you know, again, my beloved Canadian friends, everybody's so worried about being judged. Don't judge me. We need to be judged by the Word of God every day. And the Holy Spirit can say, that's wrong. It's not a condemnation. It's a judgment. It's an evaluation. It's a recognition. And the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, you realize it's wrong, and you correct it, and you get it right. And then the blessings can flow, and life is rich. If we don't, those things pile up until finally we're just cold and dry and dusty, sitting in church because we know we should, but all the joy and life has flowed out of it somehow if we keep letting that old nature, sin nature stuff dominate our thinking and our feelings. And so the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, it's profitable to make those changes in me. And he does every day, and I've come to love it. And the Bible talks about stuff, and you know it, I'm sure, but it says, you know, we die every day, Paul said, and put to death the deeds of the body, and the old nature's, sin nature's desires, crucify them. And a corn of wheat falls in the ground and dies, otherwise it abides alone. So die, and then let life flow out of our death. And all of those beautiful things. You lose your life to find your life and many more. If you get a taste of it and you are growing in it, you start to love it. I love it when the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, because I don't want that garbage hanging on my life, spoiling the fruitfulness of what God's given us to do. I want to deal with it. And the Word of God is active and sharp as a two-edged sword and so on. I want to just start a little bit on the Lord's Prayer and some things that I feel God has just transformed my life through. These are things that I meditate on and that have been foundational to our life. And we call it the Lord's Prayer, but you know what it is. It's when they asked him about prayer, and he said, pray like this. And I've said it already, it's aligning. The whole prayer brings us into alignment with God if we understand it well. His word, his will, his purpose. And it's not just in a general sense, but in a very specific sense, and we'll see. So it challenges my desires that are down inside my heart that nobody else sees until they become reality. It speaks deep, like the Word of God is sharp like a two-edged sword and cuts deep. It touches my desires, and that's where it starts. If we're just waiting for outward, then you're late. Deal with the inward. My attitudes change. The Holy Spirit can help us shift and line up with Him. And then motivations flow out of that when we start acting. So if our desires and our attitude is lined up with God's purpose, God's will, God's word, we abide in Him, His word abides in us, and so on, then out of that flows this fruitful life. So the Lord's Prayer is a prayer according to God's will. And he says that, thy will be done. I don't want to go on this all day either, but there are lots of prayers that God does not hear. Did you notice that? Like we think, and I hear this a lot, well, when God, no is an answer, but and maybe it is, but there's a lot of times he doesn't hear it, and the Bible makes that clear. And I'm not going to go down that road deeply, but there are situations in the scripture where it's very clear God is not hearing what's being said or not answering it, for the desires are wrong. The heart is wrong. And so the Lord's Prayer moves us into a position where God will hear our prayer. Not just to give me this or give me that, but to use me for doing His kingdom work and changing the community around me and blessing the nation that we live in. And John 14 and 15, again, I would say read the whole chapters. There's a passage, and I'm not going to go into it in depth, but in Isaiah chapter 58, I don't know if you've read that, but it's talking about fasting. And there's starts with the fast that God does not accept. And the Israelites were going through the fasting ceremonially, but their lives weren't in line. They were still living like they wanted to, not in harmony with God's will and not obedient to God's word. But then they would do the ritual fast. And he said, do you think that's a fast that I will accept? And then he moves into the second half of Isaiah 58 and talks about the fast he does accept. This is the fast that he does. And there's three cycles of it. If you read it, you'll stand amazed. I've studied it over and over and over because I absolutely love it. If you will, he says, do this and this and this, then this and this and this happens. If you will, then, and the stuff that will happen as you obey God and walk with Him and fast in the right direction and pray in the right direction in harmony with Him and His will and His purpose, with a heart after God, not just a heart for stuff, you'll see. Read it. And it takes your whole life to line up with it, but it's so powerful. And then there's the passage we often use in 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, you know, the verse, we use it a lot. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and usually that's kind of where we end, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So what we need to do is pray. But actually what he's saying is much deeper than that. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. My people turn from their wicked ways. And you say, what do you mean? We're not wicked like we're Christians. And say, well, why then do we have all the trouble going on in the churches? Why do we have splits? Why do we have pastors being beat up by boards and boards beat up by pastors? And why do we have people hurting each other in the church and driving each other out? And we need to understand those are wicked ways. Pride is a wicked thing. Do you believe it? And it can easily creep up inside of us sitting right here today. And jealousy is a wicked thing. It's an old nature, sin nature issue. And if we allow it to motivate our actions, then we will do wicked things. Maybe not go out and shoot somebody, but undermine and damage things and destroy fellowship. And there's so much of that stuff in the church that we need to address ourselves. And that's what he's saying. If you'll address that stuff, my people call by my name, if you will do that, then I will hear you, and then I will start healing your land. If we don't do that, the rest of it is just noise. Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites do, to be seen, so that everybody will recognize me doing it, or heaping up empty phrases and so on. So those are prayers that he does not hear. There's more, but I won't go into them, but there's the prayer that James talks about that is asking, but asking out of lust. Lust is an old nature desire, like pride and jealousy and anger and lust. And if lust is motivating my prayer, I want something for wrong, whatever, he won't hear it. It's not effective. So let's look at the prayer quickly, and then we'll finish this next time because we're running towards the end right now. Although Kristen said I could take 2 extra hours if I wanted to. She said it won't be on her, it'll be on me. So, our Father, and just in the sense of aligning everything I want to refer to it, there's so much more, but just in the sense of aligning us with God. Okay, he's a Father. He's the Creator. A good father. Obedience to our Father is the best place to live. Even if our mind tells us, like the devil told Eve in the garden, it's not the best. And the devil is still telling us the same story. It's not the best. There's other stuff. You should have a better and a bigger and a higher paying and a more. And the enemy's always whispering in our ear to push us towards something else. But it's not better. This is better. He's our Father, and living under his blessing is the best place to be. And he's a good father. Amen? Some of us had fathers that weren't so great. I remember when I first got saved, my dad loved him, a good man. He got saved before he died and went to heaven, I believe. But in the younger years, he was a heavy drinker and would come home. When he came home drunk, it was a horrible thing. The night was horrible and trouble and problem. When he came home sober, he was good, excellent, good dad. And it took me a while to realize God is not like that. He is who he is, and he doesn't change, and he's good. And obedience to him, walking with him, living with him is always the best place on earth to be. Who art in heaven, yes, he's the transcendent God. He's the one that we want to ultimately spend eternity with in heaven. And he's holy, and I'll end with end this part of it with this, but he's holy. And we need to understand as believers, if we're going to walk with God and he's going to make his home with us and we're going to see the fruitfulness that he promises if we will, what holiness means. And I know righteousness, we need righteousness, and that's an issue that the church is really struggling with today, I believe. Righteous acts of the righteousness is doing right and doing good and godly, whatever. But holy is another thing. It's another level. And it has to do with separated unto God, separated to his purpose. Like things in the Old Testament that were called holy or devoted were set aside for that purpose only. So an article of furniture in the tabernacle or some of the utensils they used, they were holy. Not that they did holy things, but they were dedicated to God's purpose. They were not to be used for anything else. And when Belshazzar tried to use them for something else, he found out what that meant. You and I are to be holy if we want to walk with God. And that doesn't mean we walk around, I am a holy man, and put a cross on and look on our nose at everybody. It dynamically means we are set aside to God's purpose. And that's what we live for. Not our own purpose, God's purpose. So be set aside. Like, I love that. I don't have any. God has taken good care of us. We haven't been poor in the sense of starving. We've had poor times when we had to be challenged and learn and grow through and trust. But God has always looked after us well. But I want nothing else than to be set aside to his purpose. My whole life to be dedicated to his purpose. And all of us should be. That doesn't mean you have to be a missionary in China. You can be a carpenter or a builder or a school teacher or a nurse or a doctor or anything else that God has called us to do. But do it under his anointing and in his will and for his purpose and in connection and communion and aligned with him. I have to be so careful, but let me finish with this. I'll just have to say it. The prime minister of the country of Ethiopia is a very, very genuinely, spiritually healthy Christian man. Not verbally yapping like a lot of people do, but living and wise and trusts God, walks with God. And you see the influence of that everywhere. He's not out preaching and handing out tracts. He's doing a really good job of being a prime minister. And we have friends in all walks of life in Ethiopia that we've walked together with for years who are like that. They like the young gal who's, anyway, another very important person in the country who we've walked with for years. But she does that job really, really well with God's grace and God's anointing and God's presence in what she does. The Canadian society is desperate for some input from us. The Christian, they're not asking for it. They're saying the opposite. But the country is desperate for the influence that the church can have as you and I walk out of the building and influence where we are. But we won't have that influence if we don't understand these principles that we're talking about. Holy unto God, and then grow in that walk with God, know his word, live it out. A lot of times, it's reflected in just being a nice person. I've heard stuff in churches, and you probably have too, that you just think, why would anybody do that? That is so ugly and not nice. So at least we can be nice. I always tell the students in the mission program, before you start worrying about learning how to culture, cross culture and shake hands and how you do this and eat the food, and be nice. And then people will like you, even if you culturally blunder a bit. But you can get all the little culture stuff down perfect and you're not nice and they'll reject you. Why not? I would too. So we need to grow in this likeness of Christ. And this prayer, and next time I come, if anybody shows up again, we'll finish it, about how that prayer in its perfection will help us line up with God's purpose and with that bear the fruit that it promises us. So that's what I wanted to share this morning, and I will continue that in a couple weeks, as I said, Lord willing, if you still will have us back. And I want to pray with you now, but I would love for the Holy Spirit to just take these simple thoughts and bring them into our hearts. Like, When we got married, Val and I, quite a long time ago, I was a new believer. She grew up in a Christian home, so she took a chance on this crazy new believer, but it worked out. And I remember at our wedding, 1 year old in the Lord, and I was just thinking, you know, the guest of honor at this wedding is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That was my heart. You are the guest of honor here. I was so thrilled to know God. And then seeing in the Word of God that if we will abide in Him and His Word in us, and we obey and walk with Him and learn to live a life like that, He will make His home with me and the Father and the Son. And then I read in the letter to the Laodicean church, and Jesus said, if anyone opens the door, I'm knocking. And it's not talking to sinners, it's talking to the church at Laodicea. In fact, it's talking to the leadership of the church at Laodicea. If you will open the door, I'll come in, we will talk, and we will have fellowship. I'll sup with you, and you, like, He walks with us. He will teach us. He will rebuke us, correct us, instruct us, love us, if we walk with Him. And that's my desire for every believer, to come into that intimate relationship and walk in it and walk it out, grow it until we come into maturity in Christ, as Ephesians 4 tells us we're supposed to. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share together in Devon and with the congregation here and those online. And my prayer, Father, is that by the Holy Spirit, your sweet, powerful voice will be heard, and that you will challenge our lives to keep moving in that direction, to align our lives in every thought captive to Christ, every action under the hand of God, and help us to understand it, learn it, and walk it out. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and thank you.